Heads up.
Okay.
Just saying, heads up.
Okay. Ooh,
notification from that coffee place we go to.
Starbucks? Starbucks?
Yes, someone. I wasn't going to say it. It's not a sponsor, so.
Welcome.
I mean, I would take sponsorship from them. Happy hour tomorrow is... Oh, Frappuccino blended beverages.
Nice.
No.
Ooh, 50% off, no less.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. Not one of those. Just double up.
Mm-hmm.
Buy one, get one. Nah, man. Half off. It's like still like buy one, get one, but you don't have to end up getting two drinks.
Yeah.
No one wants to be two drink Mike.
I'm two drink Mike.
Oh, speaking of two drink Mike.
Yeah.
Comes naturally, we are
Joe.
Mike.
And I'm Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody.
Everybody.
Hey,
Nope.
Ah, you did it. You couldn't help it, you fucking bitch.
Yeah, you couldn't, Joe.
That was me. The Backstreet Boys.
No.
And all those other ones.
Loves the Backstreet Boys.
They're okay, I guess.
They're okay.
Well, when we finally go to Shout House together and they start playing Backstreet Boys, and if you sing, I'll be like, hey, Joe, remember that time you said they're okay? Why do you know the words, motherfucker?
Curses, he got me.
Everyone knows the words, though.
Fuck yeah, they do.
There's like four words to each song.
No, there's like 15.
Well, that's still average. Yeah,
that's an average, though.
Like some compare that to, like, you know, other stuff.
I think it actually might be more than some other stuff.
Well, now.
Now.
Music is just getting less and less lyrics throughout time.
Mm. No.
Yeah. It peaks and valleys a little bit, but overall graph, since 1902, it's steady going down. And word count. Since 1902. I've researched the data.
I think it sounds pretty accurate,
I guess. I don't have the data myself to dispute it, so yeah. We'll just leave it there.
Yep.
What are we talking about today?
Your mission. Should you choose to accept it, we're going to talk about the new Mission Impossible movie. I was going to continue, but he was making it terrible.
Yeah. It was.
Like,
that's kind of what I do on this podcast.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, I knew we had a ringer in there somewhere.
Yeah,
man. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Can't let it be too good. We got to bring it down a couple notches.
Mike is literally
the worst.
Our quality control.
Oh. Yeah.
Instead of making sure it's always quality, he's like, yo.
Too quality, much quality.
No. Down.
He's let all me about shit the on control. This
for a little bit.
I just got that was fucking amazing because a control is referencing something. I'm not going to say what it is, but it rhymes with cape.
You're going to say rape.
I was going to say rape.
But it rhymes with rape.
I don't know if it's going to be as funny. So I went with cape, but I really wanted to say rape. But I was like, that might be too on the nose.
It worked out better like this anyway in the long run, so we're good. We got to hurry up and talk about this because I want to transition into the best franchises ever.
Do you have a list? You keep playing with that controller like it's going to do anything. And I'm worried you think it's controlling your phone.
No.
It's like, why do I keep losing this Star Wars game?
I'm making the podcast go right now.
Is that what it is?
Let me do this.
Oh.
It's going to be fine.
Okay.
This podcast is a bunch of QuickTime events.
It's not a PlayStation controller.
It's true.
Come on, man. Or a fucking Wii controller. Jesus. So yeah, Mission Impossible Fallout, aka Part Mission Impossible 6.
6.
22 years in the making.
Jesus, it's been so long.
Ridiculous.
This franchise can have beers now.
Yeah.
How old this shit is. Crazy.
Yep. I'd go get a beer with it. Yeah. It'd be a very dangerous beer to get.
Yeah. You would die.
And I may not live through it, but I would do it. Mainly to meet Tom Cruise. And maybe Scientology.
Be careful. He might convert you into that.
There's thing. No way. I don't have enough money to be Scientologist.
It's true.
I'm not making Joe money.
Really?
Joe's so rich.
Really? I mean, just because I buy nice things doesn't mean I'm rich.
It's because I buy nice things. Means I got a
credit card.
Live in a nice house.
He's like, I have a credit card now till they catch on and then I don't.
Yeah.
He's living them dreams. We'll do our normal run through, which is, A, did you like it or not like it? B, your top three favorite things, one thing you're surprised by. We'll start with Mike.
I liked it. Top three favorite things.
Super enthusiastic, too. I liked
it. Number one,
the bathroom fight scene.
Is that your favorite?
This is my favorite thing about this movie. Easily. Okay. Easily. That fight scene was fucking amazing. Whoever that dude they were fighting was, I don't know who that guy is.
Not John Lark.
He's awesome.
Oh, spoilers, by the way. Spoilers. We're going to ruin the shit of this. We gave you a week. When this is recorded, we only give you a couple days. When it goes up, it's been a full week.
Full weeks.
So if you're worried about spoilers, A, don't listen any further. Yeah, come on back once you see it.
Usually do with us.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, we never spoil stuff on this show.
Usually it's like 3 days in.
Yeah. You're welcome. Anyhow.
Yeah. What was I saying?
You're you back like to the, do it. The guy they were fighting. Yeah,
the, yeah. I don't know fighting. Who that guy is, but I want him to be in every fight sequence ever because he was really cool. So that was my favorite part. Again, this is a common theme for movies that we like that aren't comedies. Is if the comedy's done well. There's enough moments of levity in this.
Yeah,
where
for sure.
It, like, kind of because it's a very tense movie. It's very. Very stressful in terms of like the situations that they're put in and like high tension kind of maneuvering and shit. So the moments of levity were good. It wasn't by any stretch a comedy, but the comedy bits in it were well done and spaced out very well. And then I really enjoyed the on-screen presence of Henry Cavill in this, because you don't really know much about him, you know? Like, he's just this new character brought in, and I think everyone kind of assumes he's a bad guy, but you don't know until you do. Spoilers. He's a bad guy. And I was kind of hoping he wasn't, because I was like, man, you get fucking Superman and Tom Cruise together in the next one, and make the whole movie about that. That'd be awesome. But it, you know, spoiler, he's the bad guy. But just like introducing that character, they kind of did the same thing with Jeremy Renner a couple movies ago, where there was like that is he not kind of thing. But this one felt like they hit it. They weren't trying to hide it as well. They just weren't addressing it. They weren't teasing it one way or the other. It was just like. You don't. He's very ominous. He doesn't really lean one way or the other. He obviously doesn't like Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise doesn't like him. But you don't know if they're just from different sides of the, you know, the same team or not.
Different sides of the same cloth.
Yeah. So, but just his character in there is dope, and he's fucking massive too. You forget because like in Superman, he's a superhero. He's
surrounded by other massive human beings.
Yeah, he's surrounded by, you know,
and Barry,
the biggest. The biggest Ben Affleck is ever gonna look, you know, Jason Momoa and
that tiny wee lad.
Yeah. And then just him being in it and his character itself made the movie very interesting. The thing I was surprised about is there's a tease in the end of the movie where I thought he didn't do it.
He didn't complete.
You thought
the mission.
He failed.
I was like, and they did that really well because it totally got me. I was like, what the fuck? I almost yelled that in the theater. I made an audible like what?
Yeah.
But yeah, like for them to like play that up and like you know he's gonna fucking it's Ethan Hunt. He's gonna win. You know he's gonna win, but he gets fucked up so much throughout these movies, and in this one in particular, he's getting his ass whooped the whole time that you're like. Shit, maybe not. And they tease it.
Yeah.
And they tease it so well. And then when they come back to it, you're like, wait, what? And then you're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on here. So that was fun. It made the like that last second of what the fuck is happening? And then they kind of clear it all up. It was just really, really fun. And then I just kind of hope that like this is a franchise that I don't really want to stop, man. They just keep making these. If they can
get better and better and better.
If they can keep it up on this track, yeah.
It's nuts. And then like side note, just the casting in general, like every part, and these are all mostly returning characters. But they're just so good at every character. I mean, Angela Bassett is perfect for what she's supposed to be. Henry Cavill, like I mentioned, was perfect for what he was trying to be. Alec Baldwin, when he has something to sink his teeth into, he's so fucking good, man. Like, I just enjoy his work so much. And then, of course, the crew. I mean, Simon Pegg, Ving Rhames, Tom Cruise, obviously. Like, everyone just killed it. It was really, really good. Yeah, that's everything.
Joe? What I thought nice about this movie with the respect to the characters, it's is to me, and I'd maybe have to go back and watch all of them like Cody did. It seems like after the second movie, there really weren't, you know, Simon Pegg or you know, any of those other people of the IMF force,
yep.
Didn't really seem to be in the movie. It was just like Tom Cruise in the field doing his thing. They'd kind of be in little things here and there.
Yeah, they were definitely more support.
They were more in it, in the actual missions, in doing things.
In the first movie, there's a reason why that was.
Yeah.
But I mean, even that, he wasn't alone a lot of times. He had other people. Like when they introduced Ving Rhames' character and the professional, I can't think of his name right now.
Leon
the professional. When they were introduced,
You mean his actual name?
Yeah, like whatever the actor's name is. it's something Frenchy. But when they were introduced, they were still side characters, but they were in more of it.
Mm-hmm.
They were in less of it in 2, which is still one of the worst movies of a good franchise ever.
In 2? I can't remember.
He's in all 6 of them.
He's in all of them.
It's yeah, just that's what I thought.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, in 2 or not. They just seem to slowly have more and more of a background role.
Well, see, I 2's the only one I haven't seen in a long, long time.
skip it.
Because it's obviously the worst one. But I know, like, starting with 3... Like, yeah, it was still mainly Ethan Hunt in the field, but, like, that's your introduction to Simon Pegg. Ving Rhames still has a bit in it. But I do like how you're mentioning, like, it's become more of a team effort mm-hmm. than just yeah. Ethan Hunt, one-man show kind of thing.
Because with 3, they were more like this. So they were still support because he would call
and
in.
And they're all new.
Yeah, and in Ghost Protocol, which is 4, they were a lot more present, especially Simon Pegg, because he actually got to kind of take a in the field more. Yeah. You know, that kind of started that way. And everything like that, but they were still not as much. And then in like Rogue Nation, they were like right there with him. Like he was still doing all the crazy shit all the time, but they were with him all the time, every moment. And same with Rogue Nation.
Yeah,
they were obviously like huge parts in it. And then of course this one even more so. Like they were every little bit. They were like more than just assistants. They were like part B, you know what I mean? Like, attach part A to part B,
yeah.
And it makes a plan. That's exactly what it was, you know what I mean? So, I did like that too, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I liked that. That was just to add on to Mike's characters. I like how Mike is able to pick out what his favorite action scene was of this movie, because it's so hard for me. Like, the bathroom scene was super awesome to see the whole thing through, but... Ah, just a lot of those chase scenes.
The bike chase through the town was nuts.
I've never been sat through a movie and had more moments where I'm just squeamish of just like you're curling your toes. You're like, I can't.
You kind of lean away. Like, oh no!
I reached for a fucking seatbelt at least twice.
Yeah,
I was like, where's this harness at? Strap my ass in.
And like when they're staring out that AC-130 or whatever that plane was, and at the beginning to do the skydive, and
he walks the edge and sees that storm. I was like, storm no, clouds. You hit that button to close this door. Benji, close the door. Benji, close the door.
Oh,
go fuck yourself. And then they holy jump shit. And
get struck by lightning. Oh, fuck, man. And then he has to try and get what's his name?
Walker.
Superman's ass up and going there.
God, Texas.
So tense.
CIA Ranger Walker.
Yeah. So tense. So pretty much for me, like all of the action scenes.
So good. All of them. It was really nonstop too. Every time you started to catch your breath. Nope, here's some more.
Yeah.
The pacing was ridiculous.
The pacing was set at 10, and every time I went to an action scene, it went like to 15. I was like, yo, y'all need to use a brake, right? Don't just let up on the gas. There's a brake pedal for a reason.
Right. And they really only took one break, and that was the time that I got up to go to the bathroom. I took a...
You got back in a perfect time, too, because it was not... You did not have time to fucking run.
No, you don't at all.
I just pissed in the chair next to me. That lady was really upset, but...
the warmth.
Yeah. I mean, you got a little on you. It's not my fault. Can't control it. What were you surprised by?
What was I surprised by?
Yeah. That was 3, right?
No, that wasn't 3.
That was 2. Sorry,
was
my
1.
Bad. No. Oh, yeah. Nope, my bad. You were tagging on Mike's. Yep, go ahead.
After Mike's
sorry, no. You had the other 2.
The look and feel of the movie
so good.
Was so good. Whoever is the director, I want him to direct the next couple of these.
He's done the last 3. Or last.
He's done the last 3?
2.
Really?
Because he did Rogue Nation, because Brad Bird did Ghost Protocol.
Something just about this one felt like they haven't done it before. And
that fucking shot of the C-130 in the moon.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, all right, you guys, it's dark enough in here. No one can see me.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was.
And so I just want more like that of these movies.
Some of those long shots were just
every
phenomenal.
Long shot, every just, and it plays right into Cruise's ability to do his own stunts, where you can just have those really close shots where he's doing something incredible, and it just looks phenomenal. So that's number two. Number three, yeah, I would have to go with the characters on it as well. Same thing as Mike said, that they're all just solid, fantastic. And you get that nice plot twist with who's the actual head bad guy of everything.
Who's the head good guy is another one, too.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I literally was questioning everything in this movie.
But I also liked, and I stated this before with you guys, is that I liked the fact that when they did address him and his ex-wife, this wasn't like, woe is me, I chose my career over my wife, and so
she couldn't handle it.
Or she couldn't handle it anything. Because she shows up in the very end of the film, and they just explained it as it was a mutual thing. She understood that, not that he needed to do this, but the world needed him to do this because of this world that they live in is some extra fantasy spy world. And he also knew that he had to not be with her to protect her. And she understood that, too.
And to protect him.
Yeah, and to protect him. And so that was absolutely fantastic that it wasn't just your normal, you chose your career over me and blah, 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 and I hate you, blah, blah, blah. So I thought that was actually really good character development. As far as surprise, I think the reveal of who the real bad guy was.
Yeah, for
Henry,
sure.
Being Henry Cavill. But I think the way they went about it was actually more surprising.
Even better. Yeah.
Yeah, even better, because you have what's-his-name sitting handcuffed in the chair.
Solomon Lane.
And you think that Ethan Hunt and everybody went off to go trade the real Solomon Lane in. And it turns out, the fake Solomon Lane.
Yeah, so you think this is the real Solomon Lane.
So you think this is the real one, and here Cavill is just spouting off his evil plan like all, evil geniuses do. And it turns out, nope, that's Benji.
Benji got to wear a mask twice.
Twice.
Racking up them masks, you son.
Yep.
Yeah. So when that happens, you're just like, oh, fuck, he's fucked. And then from that point, it's like, it goes back and forth between who's fucked in a matter of, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
Because that's when...
There's quite a bit of movie after that, too.
There's quite a bit, yeah, I know.
And, not in a bad way where you're
not in the best way possible.
In a really good way where they're getting to everything and there's still a lot to go on.
Yeah. But I like Trebek. Alec Baldwin's character comes back in, gets the gun taken away from him. Turns out to be a fake gun.
Yeah.
Not
loaded gun. And then so they
take Calvo out. Because he turns and fires out. Right away. Too.
Yeah.
He's going to just wipe out Baldwin off the map.
Oh, you're doing so good until then.
So fantastic.
Oh, Alec Baldwin's the best.
But then they walk out, and here comes Ethan Hunt and the real Ling. And they're like, double cross and blah, blah, blah. And then they call the CIA director chick, and she's like, no, I'm going to take you down. And suddenly just
boom,
fucking CIA agents come storming
in.
We
think are CIA agents.
Most of them were.
Yeah.
Except for
the key
two
ones.
Yeah. Who then Henry Cavill is like, okay, let's green or go or whatever it is. And just ends up fucking everybody up in that room. So that whole sequence was just like, oh, shit. What? Oh, huh? Fuck.
That's like someone turning the lights out and you put more chess pieces back on the board.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's weird. Hold on. No, we're good.
Yeah. So that was my surprise thing. Cody?
Yeah, I dug this movie a lot. I was pretty pumped for this movie because I've really enjoyed the last three before this.
Mm-hmm.
And rewatching him really rekindled that excitement. And the fact that once it's been so long since I watched Rogue Nation, when I rewatched it, I realized that this was literally a direct sequel. Because, I mean, everything from 3 forward has been loosely linked up until Rogue Nation, I mean, until Fallout. Fallout was, like, not right on the heels because it took place a while later, but it was, like, all the events that played out in Rogue Nation and the end of Rogue Nation was what this was all about, and been Solomon Lane being captured and all that stuff. And rewatching them was fun, except for 2. But also to see the evolution of it too, because like when you watch 1, you realize like how big they went for like a kind of an, I don't want to say unknown, but like no one looked at Tom Cruise at that point and said he's an action star.
Yeah.
Because that was the point where like mid 90s, he hadn't really done anything action wise that I can remember. I mean, he had like a few years before that, like, he had like Days of Thunder and stuff, but it was like not action-y. He was like, he's driving a car.
Yeah.
You know? And then like this thing, he's like, he was doing all sorts of crazy shit. Jump to 3, they're like, hey, JJ's like, yo, you know what we should do? We should have a missile fight with a drone on a packed fucking freeway bridge. Oh, then we should throw a helicopter with heavily armed soldiers in.
That's kind of nuts. I'm looking at his movies. You're right. Like,
yeah, I looked it up.
Top Gun, kind of. Yeah. You know,
it's an action movie just because of the.
And then there's like some action elements in some of his movies, but you're right. Like Mission Impossible is like the first action movie that he did.
Yeah, and it was like I remember people talking like Tom Cruise. Like, isn't he an actor? And I'm like, isn't that what you want? Do you want someone who can act?
Right.
In action movies?
Yeah.
You know, that's like, that's your dream.
I wasn't like aware enough to pay attention. You were 7. That talk.
Right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Jesus. I worked with someone I was talking about. I was like, yeah, did you ever see Mission Impossible 1? Like, they're like, yeah, it's like super old. I was like, ugh. Like and Don, it's like 22 theaters, fucking yeah. years. I was like, I saw that in theaters.
Before a lot of you were born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, one of the girls is like 1. Ugh. Not even yet 1. Ugh. I was like, fuck. Ah, damn. Get out. Go back to your fucking house, jerks. Anyways, I really did like it. Like I said, rewatching the first 5 really was... I'm kind of happy we waited until today to watch it versus watching it Thursday because I wouldn't have had a chance to watch them. And I kind of... It did... Like I said to you guys right when we were sitting at lunch or whatever it was, like there's a lot of cool payoff that happens in this movie that makes me kind of think they originally thought, I think they're like, hey, we may not get another shot in any of the more movies. Let's wrap up the main story we've been building to. And let's kind of, if we don't get a shot, if this doesn't go the way we think it will, we can just kind of go out on top or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's critically a success.
Yeah.
It's a success with fans. It's blown up box office. Which it is kind of hard to do, and
pass.
yeah, literally. Like, I think it might have. Like, heard the new rule, right? The new thing they did was limited new releases.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, that's not what you want to do.
No,
they're getting hurt by the AMC thing, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
AMC should pay me, by the way. I've sold like 4 or 5 of those things for them just by talking to people
of the stubs
of the A list or whatever it's called. Yeah, I told people about. It. They're like, oh, really? I'm like, that's a great deal. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
If we had a decent AMC to go to around here.
Yeah, I know.
That wasn't threats of bed bugs and near Westgate.
Yeah.
Or a shitty fucking rundown, not put back together, surprise one.
Yeah.
Fucking theater's terrible. Anyhow, the 3 things I liked about this, I loved the action scenes because, A, there were so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the non-action-y scenes, you know, it wasn't like a big action scene like Tom Cruise running and then jumping out of a building and then running across. I was like, that was so intense. I was like thinking he's not going to catch up to him, and then he does, and then he can't, you know, he doesn't though, he
just barely misses him.
Yeah, like he's like in that whole exchange on the fucking elevator. Yeah. I was like, dude, damn,
so close. Yeah. So far.
I loved everyone in this movie. Angela Bassett, I kind of wanted to die. I was like, you're kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're you're kind of a bitch. You know what I mean? I was like, Jesus, like, why are you such a bitch? Why don't you try to help?
Right.
But she was like, she's like, nah. She's like, she's much like how Alec Baldwin was in Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
Or no, Rogue Nation. Yeah, Rogue Nation, where he was, I mean, he was the director of the CIA, and he was out to just shut IMF down. Mm-hmm. And of course, through the ends of it, they didn't shut it down, and, you know, he became the director of it and became secretary. But it's like, she was like, no. And even the part where, like, they prove the fact that Henry Cavill's, like, the fucking dude behind all of it, she's like, fuck it, all of you are coming in. I was what
you still
is
have
wrong?
Yeah. Three plutonium cores in play.
Two. They had one already. But
oh, that's right. Yeah. They did have one because of the
down payment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, yo, like, at this point, you should, like, shoot this motherfucker. Yeah. That's a wanted quote. And, like, let them, give them support to go stop this from happening.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you're going to stop dude, but who knows how what he's already set in motion.
Yeah.
You know? Craziness. But, like, I love the back and forth of everything, too. Like, how they make you think one thing, and then they reveal another thing. And then, like, it's just so good that way. Mm-hmm. And I think my third favorite thing is the twists and turns that you knew, almost knew until that what we thought was the ending happened. It was pretty straightforward. Like, they're all going to win in the end. We may lose some of them, which we ultimately did lose one, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know yet. We don't know technically. Because they did say he was, but you know.
Yeah, they kind of referred to
him. Yeah. But the Alec Baldwin thing. Spoiler, Alec Baldwin dies. In the movie, not in real life. His character dies, not Alec Baldwin. They don't kill Alec Baldwin in the movie.
This post later. We don't know.
It's true. Hopefully, by the time we're recording, he's still alive and not gutted in the fucking crazy fucking British sewer somewhere. But I just loved every little thing they told you, and they're like, "Ha, just kidding!" And go fuck yourself. I also like the way they did that. His apocalyptic dreams that he kept having with like Lane and Julia, whole Terminator 2 thing at the beginning, yeah. And then like the whole like him walking into like what looks to be a church. And him and her standing there again, and then even the vision he had of the so-called plan where they were going to go through and just basically murder all the cops in Free Lane and Cake Lane, that was crazy. Like I was like, and then when they revealed it was him thing, I was like, thank God, oh my God, like he just murdered a cop, like you know what I mean? And then of course it plays that out later with the lady cop where he doesn't let her die and saves her from. Your phone's not on silent?
I thought it was.
But you have a watch on.
I didn't know your phone had a non-silent option.
It does. He bought the silent-only version of the iPhone.
It's weird.
They made 14 of them. He got one of them. But like it plays later with a lady cop where she gets shot and then he kills all those dudes in a fucking machine order, dude.
Dude,
he
right?
destroys those motherfuckers. They are like, they're A, not great fucking for hire, but also, damn.
Yeah.
Fucking bah, 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 bah. I was like, oh, dead.
Yep.
I think he killed a fifth guy. It wasn't even there yet. I was like, dang. He like ricocheted a bullet. And eventually the guy's like, he's like, oh, I'm going to go check. But I love that because every little bit, and like you think that Solomon Lane's getting ahead of him and then like all of a sudden he's not. And then he is because of obviously the ultimate reveal, which is my surprise thing is, I knew from watching the trailers that Henry Cavill had to be some kind of bad guy, mm-hmm. which when I started seeing more of it, I was kind of like, oh, this kind of sucks because it's just another government agent that's going to try to fuck him over.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of A, played out because it keeps happening. I mean,
right.
First and one.
That's what I hate happening.
Second one.
Yeah.
Third one. And, of course, the fourth and fifth one because it's the, you know, kind of going the same direction. But
that's
I was like.
Kind of like the territory of these types of movies.
Oh, of course it is.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because, like, who else would really have the capabilities?
Well, that's what I liked about Rogue Nation so much because it set up like, hey, it is that, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You're not getting fucked over by someone you know that's in the unit, like, in your little group with you or whatever, or part of your group. You're getting fucked over by another kind of agent like you from another country or whatever. But then this one plays, like, even takes that even more and turns Henry Cavill, who is literally the person who set everything up ever since Ghost Protocol started And I mean, everything, just like, just in general, I mean, he was like 4 when the first one came out, but you know, like, you know what I mean? It's like his character Walker, ever since, I would say probably around probably Ghost Protocol, hit that character was literally the domino effect, and he was setting up all those pieces just to fall in the end of Rogue Nation. And he, like, as they said, like, Lane didn't really want to, but then they had to reset, and then you find out he's the one that gave him did the manifesto, he's the one that gave him the doctor for the bombs, he's the one that gave him that fucking line that without tremendous loss they can't be tremendous loss they can't be something, yeah. Peace or whatever it was, yeah. Whatever the line is,
like great suffering,
yeah, greater suffering, greater suffering, greater the peace. Yeah. That line, you find out like that's his, like he even tells you, I gave you that, and I was like, holy shit, like, dang, because like they even tell you when he tells the director of the CIA when he gives her the phone, which we all know at that point is not the real phone because we saw it was all smooshed. From the fucking terrible bathroom fight that they had.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I was going to speak of one. I didn't want to speak over you guys when we were talking about that. I love that fight because they didn't win.
No.
They were losing that fight.
That dude was whooping their ass.
Two people. Now, later on, we found out that maybe it could have gone a different way because if we find out that was, you know, Lark was actually Henry Cavill, but whatever. But, like, still, he was still getting his ass kicked for show in a very terrible way. Like, he got kicked in the throat, like, twice. He got punched in the throat. He got cry chopped in the throat. I mean, granted, that dude took a beating too, which, by the way, that dude, whose name is Liang Yang, is actually a stunt coordinator and performer, and he's worked on everything from Pacific Rim, which he was the fight coordinator for, which you think, oh, fight coordinator, because the giant robots. Star Wars Last Jedi, where he's assistant fight coordinator, which is obviously pretty awesome itself. Yeah. He was a stunt performer in Transformers. He was a assistant fight coordinator in Rogue One, Force Awakens, Pan, The Martian, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. He's done a bunch of shit, like a bunch of shit. So that's why he was so good at that fucking fight scene. But he did hand them their asses. He's credited, by the way, as Lark Decoy. That's his character's name.
Nice.
But yeah, so I loved that because you would think, oh, because in the trailer it makes it look there's more than one dude they're fighting.
Yeah.
But in this, like, which is, by the way, one of my things I love about it is the trailer gave you a bunch but gave you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you a bunch of things you think are happening. And some of them did play out the way you thought, but not the way you thought also ultimately. But yeah, he was amazing. He just fucking, like, Tom, at one point, like halfway through the fight, Tom's like, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to do it because he just took out fucking Superman, mustache Superman.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck am I supposed to take this guy out? Like, we were both struggling with him. He just took that dude out and, like the whole, like,
so he just tackles him through a wall.
Yeah, the neck crate flip thing that he got with him. I was like, and then he had the pipe, and, like, I was like, oh, this guy's playing for keeps.
Yeah.
Like, for the keepsest of keeps. Yeah, and then Tom Cruise tackles him through a fucking wall. And it did not turn out well for either of them.
No.
But way worse for fucking Ethan Hunt than it did for the fucking Lark Decoy. He was so winning. Mm-hmm. And then that fucking, I loved also about that fight scene too, when she shows up, Rebecca Ferguson's character shows up and she shoots him, and Henry Cavill peeks around the corner, all like, the fuck? Like, yeah. I'm like, that's amazing. That was so good. Like, this massive man who just had his fucking fisticuffs fight with this guy is like, here's a gunshot, and he's like,
yeah.
Is it okay to come out?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was amazing. But yeah, so what I was surprised by was the ultimate reveal that Henry Cavill was ultimately the reason everything was going on, from everything from all the way back to, like, the fourth movie, which is Ghost Protocol, and, of course, all the events of
Rogue Nation,
and of course into this, because if, like, rewatching, and I don't remember if I ever noticed this before, rewatching Rogue Nation, it's eerily how much, and I don't know if they changed his face, but how much Sean Harrison, who plays Solomon Lane, looks like Simon Pegg. It's weird, and I was like, because I remember when I was rewatching Rogue Nation the other day, I was like, I was thinking before the whole bomb vest thing, I thought they were going to put a mask on him and they were going to make him, make basically Ethan shoot him. Mm-hmm. Like, thinking, I won. And it ends up being like it was in Like, because I think they can do the opposite of what they did in number three, where they put a mask of Julia on the one chick, the translator chick, and then shoot her. I thought it was be like, oh, I got what I need out of you. Bam, I shoot you, and then like, he realizes it's a mask, and that's like he's trying to save Benji's life, whatever. That's what I thought was gonna happen in Rogue Nation.
Yeah,
and so like, A, you finally get Benji to have get to wear a mask in this one, but like he looks so, and not so much in this movie because of the beard and the oldness, but like now if you go back and look at those two, it's like eerily. I don't know if they did something to him or like made him the way he combed his hair, what it was, but it was very weird to watch. I was like, oh, and that's what like I thought was really cool when he get to wear Solomon's face in this one. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool payoff.
Pretty cool.
But yeah, I dig it a lot.
So that was your number three.
That was my surprise.
That was your surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just found this article about why Jeremy Renner's character was not in this movie.
Okay.
So I'm going to read the whole little blurb here. This is from Empire's podcast, talking with McGuire is his last name.
McQuarrie.
Sorry.
Yeah, Christopher McQuarrie. McQuarrie.
Anyway. So, he says, I had this whole idea that the movie would start with the death of a team member. And of course, the first team member that's always the first guy we talk about killing is Luther. Luther died in the first movie, and he quite famously said to Tom Cruise, hey man, how come the brothers always gotta die? And Tom said, you're right. He was like, why do I gotta be the bad guy? And they made Luther nefarious, and then suddenly a good guy. Six movies later, it was the smartest question anybody's ever asked Tom Cruise. So I said to Jeremy, look, we can't kill Ving. It's never going to work. No matter how many movies into it, it's always going to be the same thing. You killed the black guy. And we didn't think the movie could recover if you killed Benji. So I said to Renner, hey, listen, I have this idea for an opening sequence where you sacrifice yourself to save the team, and that the mission gone wrong not only involves losing the plutonium, but also involves the death of a team member. And Jeremy was like, thanks, but no thanks. He was smart enough not to take the short paycheck for 3 days of work and getting blown up.
I liked it without him, like that scene, because I like the payoff of Luther... being almost killed.
But that is that's the thing they seemingly went back to. Like, we didn't want to kill off the black guy, but here it is anyway. We ended up shooting him anyway. Point, but Luther, we still didn't kill him. Yep.
What? At this point, Luther is just too much of a fan favorite, though,
yeah,
too.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? It's like, he's the one guy that's been with Tom Cruise in all these movies.
Yeah.
And he's the one guy he's always been able to trust. Once they got through the first one, you know, there's been no doubt in Ethan Hunt's mind that Luther's on his side. So that'd be pretty rough. Like, it, you know, it's better long term to make sure that Ethan Hunt as a character has that dude that he can always trust. It gives him one, a sounding board, a voice of reason, you know, someone to care about. So it'll put him in, you know, odd situations. It creates conflict and resolution at the same time. He just can't, that character piece is too valuable.
Yeah.
I mean, Simon Pegg is not there yet in terms, because he wasn't there the whole time, you know?
Yeah, he wasn't there from one.
Yeah. So, and three, then, and but. Three, though, but even three, yeah, it's very little, and you don't really care. It was the last couple where he really has come into his own as a character. And it's good on Jeremy Renner's part, too, because now you could bring him back as maybe he takes Alec Baldwin's.
He takes the director's
side. You know, and he's the one running it in the next one. They could, you know, very easily you could say he was on some other fucking assignment, so it's not that big of a deal.
IMF is more than just those guys, as we saw from the other movies, where there's a whole facility of them. It's just this is one group of them, obviously the main one. The other thing I was going to say is my surprise one, too, if I can have a second one. How emotional the movie was in one scene particularly. There's two, really. One is when Julia shows up, and there's that moment where, like, you can see his heart falls, and then you meet her husband, and it falls even farther.
Yeah, yes.
Right out his ass.
And then there's the realization of, oh, fuck, they're here. We don't know when the bombs are going to go off, how they're going to go off, where they're going to go off. She's super in danger, and I know why she's now in danger.
Yeah.
Because that whole, like, you know, guardian angel, and he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. That part. But the part that got me... literally, I literally had tears coming out of my face, was the fucking the conversation that Luther had with Ilsa about the two women that he's ever cared about.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even have to say the second one because she obviously knew what it was. They got cut off. But like that whole thing where he's welling up and she's welling up and he's telling the story about like how he saved my life instead of letting me die just to the plutonium. And I was like, you know, that has like that's weighing heavily on Luther. So he's even more so into this, like needing to do whatever. But he knows that, like you were saying, he has his back. Luther has his back, but obviously Ethan has his as well, even more so, because Ethan will literally go to no end to save, as Alec Baldwin said, one life versus the millions. That was a theme, you know?
That was ended up being the theme
of
the
movie. Yeah, that's what I mean. But that one
is the guy who will protect one over a million
and then do whatever.
Figure it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's gonna save the one in front of him, and he'll always figure it out in the next one.
And that's what, like, that scene was so heavy. I was like,
no, it was rough.
Good thing I have new napkins. Oh my god.
Bing Rames, I feel like, should be in more stuff. Like, yeah. I know he's in a lot of stuff, but I feel like he should have more important shit to do.
He was so good in this one. He was good in the other ones. Like, he's funny in this one. He's super intense in this one. And that scene right
there, Simon Pegg, like, are the perfect, like, little
dude. I love those two together.
Off to the side.
They play off each other really well. But yeah, I literally I cried in that part. I was like, oh, because I was like, this is one of those times where like this is gonna be an emotional scene, and then one of these two is gonna die.
Yeah.
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 And then it like didn't even come close to like him dying, other than the potential fucking nuclear explosions are going to go off. But like that scene in the fucking hut house, I don't know what that thing was. Was it a hut technically? House, whatever it is, the village house. With Solomon Lane beating the shit out of both Simon Pegg and Ilsa.
Simon Pegg got some good punches in though.
Yeah, dude, he was doing. I was like, he's gonna fucking turn. Well, nope. All right, he's getting hung.
Smashed him with that bottle, but then he got.
Yeah, dude. I was like, oh dang. I did cringe when fucking Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt, smashed that champagne bottle in that guy's face. I was like, that's hard to do. Right. Those are built to have pressure.
Yeah.
You don't just smash that on someone's face and it breaks. It goes, kunk! And he's like, no, man, smoosh! I was like, did his face break? The bottle's fine? Yeah, but yeah, it was fun. That's cool to know about Ethan, though. Or about Jeremy Renner's character. Yeah. Because I really dug that character.
The question that came up, even especially just after the movie, was like, where was Jeremy Renner's character?
Yeah,
because he was gaining more and more traction.
Yeah, and we didn't see him in the trailers, but I thought he would make some type of an appearance in it.
Nope, that was the reason why.
Good for him. Yeah. Hold out for that big paycheck later.
Yeah, man, that co-star paycheck.
Two or three more features.
So I mean that was it was a good times.
Jeremy Renner was too busy not being in the last Avengers movie.
Technically Avengers 4 was filming at the same time this was.
Not being in the last Avengers movie.
So we don't know if he's in the not released yet, fourth one.
Doubt it.
Yeah, it's just a cameo.
They just show him get dusted.
Yeah.
The opening credit is everyone we didn't see get dusted that wasn't in the first movie.
Can you imagine if the first 10 minutes? It's just literally people being dusted.
All the other characters we wanted to know where they were just being dusted.
Stan Lee gets dusted.
No, man. They can never do that.
They dust Stan Lee.
Dude, if they. Dude, people would fucking burn buildings down.
Yeah.
They would murder so many people.
I wonder if there is any serious consideration to letting Ethan Hunt not succeed in this one. Like that half a second where you're like, what the fuck? I wonder if they're like, we could end it there. Like,
I would have been like, pissed.
Oh,
this could be the wrap up of the series, and it would go out on a large, a good, not a good note, but
like just it's over.
A high note.
You know what I mean? Like, he has no more team. He has no more family. He's just, and you could, oh God, how
it'd be brutal. Awful.
How fucking brutal would have that been?
Pretty goddamn brutal, I would say.
Yes, sir.
Because holy smokes. Because if that really would have been a thing, he would have just stood up on that rock and fallen into that burning wreckage of the helicopter with fucking one-third face.
Yeah.
Just fuck it.
I'm done.
Everybody he loves and cares about, A, either bled out in a fucking dirty sewer fucking safe house thing, in England, or just got fucking just beyond dusted by two simultaneous nuclear explosions in the same area. I was like, yo.
Yeah.
Yo. I did like that reveal, though, of him hanging there with the fucking trigger in his mouth and the fucking walkie.
Yeah.
And I really wish they would have showed us how much time he gave left. Them versus like the 1 second of them clipping it.
Because yeah, they had that whole thing about the 2 seconds.
I wanted to be 19 seconds because that's what Benji had on the bomb vest in Ghost Protocol.
That was a nice touch because you didn't let it get there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the plan of like, we're going to cut one just to give them all the fucking time possible.
The most possible time.
And then at the end, we're like, how close did we cut it or something like that? He's like, the usual. And he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Like literally the usual, like, oh, fuck. So Mike, what's your question about franchises?
So I was thinking about this and there's been a lot of articles popping up online about this being one of the best franchises of all time. And a lot of it, it's recently biased. What's the word? I don't know. A lot of it has to do with the fact that this is the one out. This is the one everybody's talking about. But just real quickly, and we could do like a whole fucking episode on this down the road if we wanted to. But just to kind of spitball, like, it's up there in terms of franchises.
Easily.
And
not just because there's six of them, yeah, but just because it's a solid franchise.
It's, I mean, 5 out of 6 were really good.
Yeah.
And every franchise has that shit one. You know what I mean? So you kind of, you let it have some slack in that category. But, I mean, thinking, you go to, like, Star Wars, you think Indiana Jones, you think, obviously, you know, Mission Impossible, the Rocky movies, like the Harry Potter movies, like in terms of that, and I would say you have to have at least 3.
Yes.
To really kind of really delve into it. Like this, I know it ranks towards the top, but is this kind of threatening to be like the best franchise ever? Like, or does it have to have a couple more good ones or? Like, where would you kind of put it roughly?
Overall.
I'm not going to hold you to this opinion because we haven't really had time to examine it, but.
Overall, I think this is probably very close to the top of best franchises because of what you said. I mean, 5 out of 6 movies are phenomenal for what they are.
Yeah.
And the fact that the stumbling block was early and they rebounded so well. I mean, yeah, it took like 6 years or something for it to happen. I think it was 6 years, right?
Between yeah, there was two a long and three. Distance between 2 and yeah. 3, yeah.
But, like, it came back, and it was, like, we took what we learned and what we learned the second time, and just, we banked on, they could easily gone the other way. Like, oh, like, this is what they like, we'll do this. Because, like, the second was more of, like, obviously it was who directed it and how it was done was much more of a different style action movie than the first one was.
It suffered from that post Matrix hangover that Hollywood was in for a little bit, where you know Matrix did these things that nobody's ever seen on the big screen before, and everyone's like, "Well, that's how you have to make action movies now." And I feel like that's what really hurt it. I mean, you didn't have to make action movies like that. It was just a cool way to do it. If it fits, it fits. But it obviously didn't fit. You
shouldn't shoehorn it in. Yeah.
I would say I would argue say that this is definitely by far one of the overall best franchises you can get.
I'd agree.
Yeah. So it's up there. We're gonna have to like really get into it at some point because I think it's an interesting topic because like I know we all probably have different like if you take I'm guessing you would be Indiana Jones, right?
No, and
this is the argument this is the discussion we had before.
I pointed at Joe when I said that.
Yeah, we've had this conversation. Go ahead.
Well, I would say just because of there's only 4 Indiana Jones movies. And there's, what was it now, 6?
6
of Mission Impossible. Impossible ones. As much as I love Indiana Jones, I just think that because you have more films and they're all good with the exception of number 2, that actually would be higher on the list than Indiana Jones for me. And there's quite a few instances of that because Alien also pops to mind. You know, there right there was another.
And Alien, you could like sneak in the Prometheus movie too, and
you know, and those are all a lot of those, like the first two are fantastic movies.
Yeah, the first two are so good. The third
one is good. It's underrated for me for what people think. But it just takes such a after that movie, it just takes such a dive.
Yeah, 3 gets a bad rap because of Resurrection, because 3 wasn't nearly as good as 2, and 2 was like, to me, landmark action movie like at that time.
Yeah,
and like elevated like one. I love 1 because it's a really good horror monster movie. 2 becomes like this crazy hybrid of the two, where it's very scary at parts, but very
it's a huge action movie.
You know what I mean?
We talked about that, how they successfully made that turn in a franchise, which was unheard of.
And then with 3, they try to go back to the original, where it makes it more of a monster movie, and it wasn't done.
Exceeds,
yeah, but it wasn't really well done. But then you have Resurrection or 4, and it's just fucking terrible.
And it's an example of something that just completely tanks a franchise.
Yeah. Literally.
You can even think the same in the Die Hard movies. You know, first one's fantastic. The second one's good. Third one's really good. And then just after that, you know, there were 2 or 3 other movies.
There's 2 more, yeah.
And it just...
mediocre and then a fucking terrible one.
Train wreck. So yeah. to have an actual series that starts off good and, like Cody said, falters, but actually picks itself up and just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, it's very difficult, too, because, like, how do you weigh the fact that, yeah, Mission Impossible, its stumbling point, like you said, was early, and they recovered with a really nice string. But, like, what if, like, you had a series and the stumbling block was way late, like a Die Hard? Like, it feels like it kind of hurts it more, you know what I mean? Because your last impressions are poor.
Exactly.
And then, like, you have, like, a franchise, like, say, like... and.
I'm thinking of Star Wars as well, where you have like the first 3 movies, the original OG movies, are really good.
Yeah.
Then you have that stumbling block of some of the prequels being not so great.
Mainly the first one.
They come back with the sequels, which are, for me, fantastic. Amazing. But it's such a weird, like, I also hear people say how much they hate those movies as well.
Yeah,
those people are weird.
Yeah.
Those people just want everything they thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, Star Wars, these new Star Wars movies have not gone the way anybody thought.
They didn't go the way people thought.
They got wising up because they read all these cool books and these at the time in canon things, because they wrote a shit ton of them thinking there's never going to be any more movies of them, because
we can do what we want.
The creator said there's never going to be any more movies of them. So, yeah, I think people got it in their heads, like, oh, we want this to happen. We want this to happen. And then when you see that, like Luke Skywalker is a flawed, disgraced Jedi, and
he's his father.
Yeah, and it's a bummer for people, and I think they can't get past that.
And it's funny, because I was thinking, when you were saying that, I was thinking Star Wars fans are the toxic ones, are where the Star Trek fans were when they started the new Star Trek movies. Because there's, like, hardcore Star Trek fans hated the thought they were rebooting the franchise. And, like Ted is one of them. Ted was, like, dead set, never going to like this new movie. Like, as soon as they announced, hey, we're going to remake the Star Trek movies from, like, OG. Like, it's going to be Kirk and Spock. He was like, fuck Hollywood, burn it to the ground, destroy California. I was like, first off, I think pretty much they're making it in either Canada or UK. Yeah, but anyways, he was like, and like that's how it was. And that was I don't want to say early days of the internet, but it was very early days and like that kind of thing. But those fan, like hardcore Star Trek fans, were fucking rabid about never touching their. You can do all you want with the Next Generation. You can do what you want with anything else, but you touch the originals, we will murder you in your sleep and make your dog eat your body. You know what I mean? And that's where Star, a lot of,
quote.
I think it was, yeah, I think I read it off one of the boards. and that's where a lot of, like, air quotes, hardcore Star Wars fans are. They are diehard set. Like, you don't touch our stuff. You can make all the different things you want, but don't touch it. And then, like, it's just so weird because, like, they're so excited for new content. But like Mike was saying, because they didn't go the way that they wanted it to, like, the way they thought it was going to, because all the other shit that's out there, they're like, no, oh, fuck you guys. You ruined my childhood. I'm like, how? How did they ruin your childhood? Don't watch him. If you don't know that he's a flawed fucking version, a less dark but flawed version like his father is in the newer movies, then it's not going to tarnish your imagination of what you thought was going to happen. But guess what? You're also not being paid to make them. So
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that you're not being, you're making them, because you obviously don't make good decisions.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I believe this is right up there, and I would believe what Joe was saying is, just like Star Wars, I think this is one of the best because of the fact it didn't, it had less of a stumble, but also they've just gotten better and better and better and better as they've gone on, because a lot of movies will plateau. Like the Indiana Jones movies, I love the first three, but I think they're wrong. All three of them are amazing, of the original three, but they're all the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't get, like, the first one wasn't awesome, second wasn't awesomer, and then the third one wasn't more awesome than that. They were on to me. It's hard to pick which one of those I like more. If I had to choose like one out of them, like which one's the best? I was like the one with Indiana Jones in it. But this one I would do the same thing with. I was like, I think this is my favorite one, but I would have, before that, I would have said Rogue Nation was my favorite one. Mm-hmm. Before that, I would have said Ghost Protocol was my first one, my favorite one, and then I would have said that about the third one. Definitely not the second one. Ever, never, ever the second one. Like, matter of fact, they could delete that one, and I don't think anyone would care. This is fucking terrible. I rewatched it with fresh eyes, because I hadn't seen it for a long time, and I was like, oh no, I was right to hate this movie. All those jokes I've made in the past, haha!
They hold up.
Correct. So, to answer your question, Mike, I believe... this is, if the top off the top of my head, probably the best franchise, solid franchise of all movies, and that includes Star Wars.
Crazy.
And you know me, I love even the prequel Star Wars movies,
but I
know there's something wrong with them. I know there's a lot wrong with them, but and it's funny because like there's two people you can really hold accountable for keeping these as good as they are. And that's Tom Cruise and J.J. Abrams, because J.J. Abrams brought it back from death, literally. Like, he resurrected it, and then he stayed on as producer with Tom Cruise through the last three, four, five, and now six. So you definitely have those two to thank for it. And a lot of people are like, oh, J.J. Abrams ruins stuff all the time. You can go fuck yourself, because he hasn't ruined shit. If anything, he's fucking put his golden touch on everything he ever gets around.
That's very true.
He's just like, golden.
And MI3 was like one of his first big gigs too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. He was coming off of a lot of TV stuff at that point.
Yeah.
But I was right. There was a 4-year gap between Mission Impossible 1. There was a 6-year gap between 2 and 3. A 5-year gap between 3 and 4, and then a 4-year gap between 4 and 5, and then a 3-year gap between 5
spaced
and 6.
Spaced them pretty well.
Yeah,
you don't feel like, oh, another one. You know what I mean? You're like, all right, shit, yeah, another one.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, you hear about it, you're like, oh, okay.
Do you think we get another one?
With the success of this one, I almost guarantee it.
They have to, but I almost feel like this is such a good
spot. You could end it now, and I would not complete. I would be like, but it's like, this one might be super tough to, like,
top.
Yeah. For sure.
It's going to be rough.
Faux show. Because, like, it was so good. It's like, when we kind of... We did it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you could, like, to Mike's point, if they would have just actually had those bombs go off and that would have been the end, it would have sucked. Because it's like, all this hard work and all this death-defying stuff, and he fucking loses everything he loves in one failed thing, it would have sucked. I like the fact that they made us think that and then gave us the... I would say storybook ending, very Disney friendly ending.
Yeah.
Other than the fucking terrible fall off of a cliff of a person splatters and then falls into maybe still a little bit alive and lands in a burning wreckage of a helicopter.
He's not alive.
He got hooked in the face.
He could have been a little bit alive.
A deep hook in the face.
Yeah, you know, hook face.
Yeah,
that's his villain
one
name.
One third hooked face.
Yep, because one third was burnt. One third was hooked, and the other one perfectly fine until the rock in the fire. I mean, might have been a little tougher.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking he was going to kind of get away at the end. I'm like, oh, he's going to be the villain that continues Solomon Lane's, right?
Yeah. Villain, yeah.
You know, he's going to be very James Bondish villain.
Exactly.
You know, he's super pissed because now he's exposed. But no, they threw him off a cliff.
Yep.
Had him crash, splat at the bottom of the cliff, and then land in a burning wreckage of a helicopter that he was just in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love the fact that they showed us that hook for so long. They're like, hey, look at this hook. Remember this hook. It's going to play a lot into what's about to happen. Catches on a rock. Catches on a rock. Catches on Calville's face. It's like, oh, I mean, he's pretty strong, but I don't think he's going to hold up that helicopter. He didn't.
Nope.
We got that rock, though. He taught that rock a lesson. Just saying. But yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah.
We got anything else I want to talk about in the less than...
Nope.
Okay. Mike? You good?
Nah, man, I'm good.
He's over on Twitter just twitting away. Right? No, he's like,
mm-hmm. Texting. It's all twit, 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 twit.
I don't think he's masturbating on Twitter.
Easy. Both hands are up here, sir. Both hands.
You fucking my table? That's messed up, man. You don't fuck another man's table. Anyhow, we'll end on that note. Name of this episode, don't fuck another man's table. But that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
There's a knot in the cord.